We want to see the corpse. Okay, here we go. Chabura time.
Right, so Mr. Shrimp, actually, I'm hoping that, Chabura might be a little bit of Chazara as well.
Good. That's
so, okay. So I'm going to start off with the question, but in order to speak out the question, really, it's effectively a Chazara over most of what we're really doing Chazara over.
Right.
So, once again, yeah? So let's do it this way, right? So we've got I'm going to start from our original Mishnah, yeah? And there we've got Machlokas Beis Hillel, Beis Shammai, right, as to whether you can eat the egg that's born, right? And we have four opinions in order basically to explain it, right? We've got Rav Nachman, right, who's going to basically a vort of Muxer and stroke Nolad, yeah, and we're Machmir on Beis Hillel's Machmir on Yontif, yeah. And then we've got three other opinions. We've got Rabba, right, and Rabba's opinion is Hachana de Rabba, which means that he holds on, there's an Adraisa problem, right, of an egg that's born on Yontif after Shabbos, right, because Shabbos prepared for Yontif, that's a Adraisa problem. There's a follow-up de Rabbanon, but it comes from at least a Deraisa, Hachana de Rabba. And then you've got two other opinions, right? You have Yosef and Yitzchak, who are both holding pure Gezeiras, yeah, de Rabbanons, right? A Gezeira because of Peush Noshrim, and a Gezeira because of Mashkin Shazavu. That's the background, yeah? And in the beginning of our section, we now bring a Braisa. And the Braisa we're going to see is going to be a question according to those last two opinions that hold that, you know, the problem of an egg being laid is pure Gezeiras. So in the Braisa, I split it up into four sections, whatever. Effectively, the first section starts talking about an egg that's laid. Very nice. Okay, we're kind of familiar with that, yeah? And tells us that you basically can't touch it. You can't, you know, use it effectively. That's section one. Then it says, however, you can put a kli over it. Section two, so far so good, yeah? Now, section three and four are the problematic ones. Section three says, yeah, that if it's a suffolk, so you don't know whether it's, let's say, this problematic egg or not, yeah? It's usser. That's section three. And then section four says, yeah, if this egg, and potentially even maybe a suffolk egg, gets mixed in with 1,000 others, they're all asa, which means there's no din of bittul. Okay, those are basically our four sections. And what the Gemara does is, the Gemara says, listen, these make a lot of sense according to Rabba, yeah? Now let's speak that out, yeah? Section 3 that says the suffolk is asa, that's fine for Rabba, because we're talking about a deraisa, and suffolk deraisa, we should be machme, that makes sense, yeah? And it's a bit out of order, but the fourth section, yeah, for Rabba is also okay, right? Why? Because we've got a concept, right? Although there's, on a deraisa level, we think of there as being bittle, yeah? When you get mixed with elef, but there's a concept called devash yesh lemisirim, yeah? Which means that something which is going to become mutter later on, yeah, we don't allow it to be mevatel, yeah, we don't allow bittel to occur, right? So Rabba we're fine with, yeah. However, the other two opinions are problematic, yeah. And seemingly, you could say, that seemingly the focus is on the third section. It seems as if maybe the fourth section, maybe you'd also say devashiyasim materium at that stage. Okay, well, maybe, yeah? But the clear problem is the third section. Why? Because it says the suffolk is asa. And we say these things are derabanan, yeah? The usual principle is suffolk, derabanan, hakel. We don't understand. So basically, we go through a whole complicated first answer, which involves switching the cases midway through the braisa, and we come to an answer at the end of the day, but it's not easy answer, yeah? That is basically the first section of the Gemara. Then we do a somersault. Right? We then come on to Rav Ashi, and Rav Ashi says something a bit startling, actually, when you think about it, but quite simple. He says, wait a sec, yeah? You're talking about Devash Yesh L'Mesirim, right? With this egg that's born and is going to become mutter, yeah? So effectively, if you read, I'm reading in Rashi into this, just as much as, yeah, Devash Yesh L'Mesirim is going to tell you that there's going to be no bittul, yeah, even on a Durabana level, so too, yeah, that same concept of Asher administration material should tell you that a suffolk you should be machmir and treat as being asa. So you don't need to come up with any fancy kimtas. It's all the same concept, yeah? We can, you know, and we're all happy with Dvashiyash material. So what I want to try to talk about in this Chabura and use as a petach, really, to understanding a bit more about Dvashiyash material is, what is this huge change between the initial Havramina, the Maksh, and the Havramina, the first answer, yeah? And Rav Ashi, the first answer seemingly thought Devash Yesh Materium doesn't have any relevance to the third case and can only ever be applied to the fourth case, yeah? Whereas Rav Ashi says, no, it's the same Yisod. Now, there's different ways you can set up the question, right? But I'm going to set it up using Rashi, right? Rush is where he explains divarciation materium, and it comes from
a divarciation materium plug into the fact that it's a soft fake.
Good, good. So let's speak that out. Yeah, let's speak that out. Yeah. So I'm going to take off Rush's approach. You'll end up at the end of Khabru. You can think about, you could just switch everything round almost. Yeah. But let's start with Rush. So the way Rush explains divarciation materium is, yeah, and this is the way at least I'm understanding it, is it's a form of Khumra.